Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and today is Wednesday, July 10th, 2024, and we are reading from the Big Book, Continuing in More About Alcoholism, page 31, the first full paragraph, Despite All We Can Say, ending with Long Enough to Drink Like Other People. Today's readers are Chanel T, who will read the text, Yvonne A, A Vision for You, and Juanis N is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Carla C, and Jody E will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, July 9th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,556. And for this morning, Wednesday, July 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 21,562. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathy B. to please unmute and join us and read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Kathy B. I live in Oklahoma, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy B. in Oklahoma. And next, I'd like to invite Deborah L. T. to join us and read the 12 traditions of OA. Thank you, Deborah.
Good morning. This is Deborah L. T., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from beautiful Naples, Florida. Here are the 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be an autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personnel. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you, Deborah LT in Naples, Florida. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. Somebody's unmuted, star one, please. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star one to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star one to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 31, first paragraph, more about alcoholism, despite all we can say through one paragraph ending and long enough to drink like other people. We will now go over to Washington State, and Chanel T. will start reading and sharing for us. Thank you, Chanel.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, I'm Chanel T. I'm a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today, purely by the grace of God. Despite all we can say, many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they are in that class. By any form of self-action and experimentation, they will try to prove themselves exceptions to the rule of a non-alcoholic. If anyone who is showing inability to control his drinking can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. Heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. Ooh, I resemble that remark. Heck, I resemble the whole paragraph. I denied it. And I got away with it as long as it didn't show on my body. At least I thought I did. Let's put it that way. But once it did, I couldn't deny it any longer, but I still tried. You know, I still tried. Oh boy, howdy, did I practice self-deception and experimentation, but it was an exception. In my teen 20s, it was restricted and binge exercise cycle. It was that all the time in some way or another. And then as I got older and things really slowed down metabolism-wise, I just tried every name a diet fad. You know, I particularly remember things like portion control, prayerful eating, mindful eating. Yeah, but nothing changed the fact that I am bodily and mentally different from regular eaters. I have an illness. I have an allergy of the body and a twist of the mind. And it's all, but also I can't. Thank God, thank my higher power, I have a solution today. I have a solution because I was hopeless, but I was not helpless. Working these steps in entire abstinence, just as it's out the big book of alcoholics. And it gives me a new, I love the life I have today. Just so much different on paper, other than shed. Just that much different on paper. But boy, I know you. I know God. I know myself in ways I never have. And I wouldn't trade a moment of it. I am so grateful to be here today. What a life it is to live in recovery one day at a time. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Chanel T. in Washington State. All right, so here we go. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you came in midway, we are in More About Alcoholism, page 31, and we're sharing today just on this first full paragraph, despite all we can say through to long enough to drink like other people. So when you ask to share, if you can give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country where you are calling from. Who would like to share their experience with this paragraph?
And Washington.
Wendy, Laura, I think I heard an Anne.
Yes.
And Wendy M. B.
Wendy B.
Wendy Y.
Jen A.
Somebody, Jen A. And I heard somebody with a Y.
Diane Y. from Texas.
Diane Y. from Texas. I'm not guessing everywhere where you're from. Some of you I know, so I know where you're from. So do we want to take one more here?
Ian F.
Did you get Woody?
Ian, thank you. And who was that lady speaking?
Jody E.
Hi, Jody. Okay, so if everyone can star one and mute, this is our lineup. I have Laura W., Anne, who will share her last name, last initial and where she's from. Wendy B., we need to know where you're from. Jen A. from Colorado, Diane Y., Ian F. from Indiana, and Jody E. from California. So everybody other than Laura W., if you could please mute your line, and thank you, Laura. Kick us off.
Thanks, Susan. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, gosh. It says that those who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they are in that class. Well, what class is that? Well, the class is that there's no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic, as it says in the previous paragraph. And, you know, this really, really bothered me when I first came in. I grew up in a home where I was told that I could do anything if I put my mind to it, you know, not just, you know, I could do anything that boys can do. Of course, it wasn't just that. It was like anything that you put your mind to, you can do. And for most of my life, I was able to do that. But when it came to food and weight and exercise, I could not moderate. I cannot moderate. So therefore, that tells me that I am not a normal eater. I am not a normal exerciser. I am not a normal person when it comes to food. I do not have a normal relationship with food when I am not recovered. And, you know, I can't turn a pickle back into a cucumber. I am truly a cucumber, and I've come to accept that today. But this paragraph tells me that every form of self-deception and experimentation, I tried to prove myself exceptions to the rule. I tried to prove to myself, well, okay, I could just only eat this or only eat that, you know, only eating if I exercise, only eating if I don't exercise, only eating fat-free foods, only eating sugar-free foods, you know, like, I don't need to be part of the research and development team anymore today. You know, I've been there too long. I know today who I am and whose I am. And it tells me, it says, heaven knows we've tried hard and long enough to drink like other people. Heaven knows. Yes, God knows. And that's what heaven, you know, to me means. God knows. And, you know, I know today that I am a grateful compulsive overeater, grateful recovering anorexic and exercise bulimic. And no, I'm not a normal eater, and that's okay for me, because truly, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams, despite outside circumstances that are not great right now, you know? I mean, I know that if I pick up or if I restrict, I'll just have, you know, more than one problem to deal with. So, you know, this just reminds me of who I am and whose I am. I belong to my higher power. And as long as I surrender to that higher power every day, I will remain in recovery one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Laura W. in South Jersey. Next, I have Anne. And Anne, we need your last initial and where you're calling from today. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. It's Anne M. from Washington State. There's so many eager people who wanted to share. And I appreciate being here. I'm a compulsive eater and recovering in using the 12 steps. I'm really taken by this paragraph because of the self-deception and experimentation. And it says, too, anyone who is showing inability to control his drinking, of course, I substitute eating and or thinking there. And mostly now I realize, and I was self-deceived for so many years before coming into this program. And I really have an inability to control my obsessions about food, things, people, places, and my relationships with my higher power, my, you know, significant others, and everyone that I came in contact with. And once I woke up to that, I realized I had tried so many ways to control these people, places, things, and situations in my life, and not even realizing that there is a way to stop it. And when I was introduced to the Big Book and the steps when I came in, I thought this may work. So I got a sponsor, got into the program, and started working the steps immediately. That's the solution. Trying to control everything is not the solution. So I so appreciate this. And part of the reason I haven't been on these meetings is because it costs me every time now because I switched service providers for my phone, and it says it's charging me. So I appreciate getting on at this point, and I've been doing more Zoom meetings instead, which is fine. But I love this meeting and the fact that it's very well organized and people talk about the steps and the solution. So thanks. I appreciate it. Bye now.
Thank you, Anne M. in Washington State. Next, we have Wendy B. And Wendy B., if you can let us know where you're calling from, please.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the line that says, if anyone who is showing inability to control his drinking can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. And so drinking like a gentleman is having manners being paramount, you know, or most important, instead of consuming being most important, you know, like the addict. And the phrase, our hats are off to him, means admiration and approval and praise for a job well done. And the term right about face means turn 180 degrees, a reversal of direction, a complete change of behavior. And I can see the value, you know, in this non-judgmental attitude. You know, as an addict myself, I can still want to get on my soapbox and proclaim everyone who is overweight, you know, as being a compulsive overeater in denial. And, you know, I'm reminded of the paragraph in Working with Others that says, we're careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every new alcoholic looks for this spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. You know, a spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved, you know, had it been for such stupidity. And I truly embrace, you know, the concept that not everyone is like me. You know, and some people really can eat in moderation, you know, and stop when they want, you know, and it's not my place to diagnose anyone else but myself, you know, and I can't know the inner workings of another person, you know, that's between them and God. And I get to just accept their words at face value, you know, instead of trying to read into them. And so I just really appreciate this approach. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. in Arizona. Next, we're off to Colorado. Good morning, Jen A.
Morning, Sue. Thanks so much for taking the meeting. This is Jen A., recovered in Colorado. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy and saving a girl like me today. Wow. So awesome paragraph and great shares this morning. I've, like, gleaned so much from everybody. I'm delusional. I'm in denial. I can still be delusional and in denial. Just because I have a 12-step program of and a way of life and a design for a living and a sponsor and I go to meetings doesn't mean my mind can't go down that rabbit hole. It can. But the greatest thing for me today is that I have a God who loves me and who saves me and who always turns my face back to him. I don't have to do a 180-degree, like, turnaround march. Okay, let's go this way, away from the Dunkin' Donuts. No, God gives me that freedom. And that's about the spiritual awakening, you know? We did. I came in here dead. I came in here dead and dying in the disease. I was anorexic. I was 120 pounds dripping wet. I was the thinnest girl in the room, and everybody just kept handing me coins like I was doing the right thing because I wasn't eating white flour and white sugar, you know, but I was out running at 3:00 in the morning around a really dark track, you know, and it was ugly, and I was restricting, and, you know, it was terrible, and I would eat the bare minimum, but I would make it to those meetings every week, and I would sit there, and I would think I was doing the deal. And let me just say that heaven does know. Heaven does know that we've tried hard enough. God's up there. He's watching. And I always used to say, you know, God, I've given my life and I've given my life over to service. Service in the church, serving in ministry for 14 years. So how come you're not answering my prayers? How come you're not doing what I want? And what I found out through this program is it's not my will. It's the will of the Father. And so today I'm so glad that I have somebody who's directing me, guiding me, taking care of me. And, you know, hats off to God, honestly. I mean, really, that's what it boils down to. So I think that's all I really have to say today. I'm super grateful that I can be on these meetings with you guys at this hour. It's been a real treat and a real pleasure to hear the voices of recovery on this meeting. So, yeah, I think with that I'll pass. Thanks, Suze. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jen. Okay, that was Jen A. in Colorado. Next, we're off to Texas. Diane Y., please join us and share.
Good morning. This is Diane Y. from Texas. I just want to say I'm so grateful to this meeting and for people who share, not just today, but all along for the last several months. It's so powerful, this meeting, the message of recovery. I don't think I identified. I'm Diane White from Texas, recovering compulsive overeater, control freak, problem child, controller of all things in the world, recovering from all of that one day at a time. This paragraph really strikes me. The countless attempts, I mean, oh goodness. This food plan, that food plan, this particular food, giving up that food, this exercise, oh, the right trainer, if I only had the right trainer, oh, if I only had the right time of day to exercise, all of that, all of the countless attempts to try to control my world. And I've learned, at least for today, that the bottom line is acceptance. No matter what, acceptance, it all starts right there. And that is the open door where I can meet God and my higher power and try to understand what God's plan is for me today. And it took me a really long time to understand what does it mean when people say they're grateful for this disease. I mean, I get that now. It hit me a while ago. Because of this disease, I've learned a better design for living that I would not have learned before. So for anyone who's in relapse or struggling or sitting on the meeting today, binging at the same time, you know, it starts with acceptance. It starts with acceptance. And it took me a while to understand that my higher power is a higher power that cheers me on, that loves me right where I'm at and is encouraging me to be the best I can be and gives me these steps and principles to get there, you know. And it's all good, you know. I mean, I'm so grateful for this program. God is doing for me what I can't do for myself today. And with that, I share, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Diane Y. in Texas. Next, we have Ian F. in Indiana. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. This is Ian F. in Indiana. I'm Kentucky in the registry, if you want to look me up. I just have this phrase, self-deception, rattling about in my head. Because it implies that if you're deceiving yourself, you know what the truth is. And I did. I knew what the truth was. I was starving in middle school. And I was starving myself in middle school because as a child, not knowing anything about OA, not having read any AA or OA literature, going, man, when I start eating, I can't stop. And I spent the next, 6-7 years of my life trying to convince myself that that wasn't the case, which is not to say that I'm not anorexic. I certainly am. But there's that other side of the disease that I live with also. And I was really proud to be anorexic because that meant that I had control and I had discipline and I had power. But to be a compulsive overeater, to be a fat person, that terrified me. And I tried for a really long time to not admit it, to hide it, to figure out, twist around and find some other truth that was maybe more palatable to me, and I couldn't. And none of us can. And like it says, I would love to see somebody think that they're a compulsive overeater and then come to the rooms and then figure out, oh, actually, nah, I was just dealing with something, which I have seen before. But for those of us who come here and know that we are powerless, we know. And we're welcome. So that's all I got. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ian. F in Indiana. Okay, next up we have Jody E. in California. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, everyone, for being here. My name is Jody E., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Monterey, California, recovered but not cured. I am a real compulsive overeater. As this paragraph says and describes, we try for years to prove ourselves exceptions to the rule. Certainly I did. And, it was pretty much obvious from the beginning, not the real beginning, not the absolute beginning. But by the time I was 17, and once I started dieting, it was downhill from there. Once I started realizing that, I'm going to keep eating the way I've been eating, and the terror of that made me also an anorexic bulimic type. And I was able to control my weight, but I was not able to control the disease, not by any means. The physical, maybe, but not the physical appearance, but that was it. I just became more agitated, more anxious, more depressed as I progressed in my disease. So heaven knows I did try hard and long enough to eat like other people, but it was pretty clear from an early age that I could not. And once I concede to my innermost self that I am a real compulsive overeater in step one, it gets easier from there. I have to do that, though. I have to smash this idea that I can eat like other people, that I can eat my alcoholic foods with impunity. I have to smash that idea, which was hard to do. Man, I didn't want to do that. My alcoholic foods, they were my best friends, I thought. But victory comes from surrender. Only through surrender do I vanquish this disease by continuing to work the rest of the steps, and I cannot stop. I have to continue for the rest of my life. Because as I said, I'm recovered today, but I am not cured. The mental twist is waiting and ready to tell me that I can pick up those foods again with impunity, but I cannot. So that's why I'm here after all these years. And
that's kind, Jody. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much. All right, a reminder where we are this morning. Page 31 in the chapter More About Alcoholism, the first full paragraph, despite all we can say, through to long enough to drink like other people. So if you haven't shared, and today is your third day, please give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning.
Nancy.
Pearl R.
Nancy, hold on 1 second. Nancy, I heard Pearl R. Nancy, where are you calling from and your last initial, please?
C, California.
Thank you. And Pearl R, you'll tell us where you're calling from when you share. Who else would like to join these ladies?
Gloria H.
Gloria H.
Vanessa G.
Vanessa, good morning. Thank you.
Anna B.
Anna B. Great. All right, so we'll go with this lineup and see what we have left for time. I have Nancy C, Pearl R, Gloria H, Vanessa G, and Hannah B. I know where two of you are from, and if everyone can state where they are calling from when they share. So if everyone can mute the line, and Nancy C, take it away. Thank you.
Good morning. I am Nancy C from California. you know, this paragraph really describes me. I've known probably since I was in my 20s that I was powerless over especially the sugary foods. But it's taken me a long time to accept that, you know, there's no other solution. I gave up on dieting a long, long time ago. But I guess the willingness to accept that life was going to be miserable if I was choosing food as my solution. And in March of this year, I made a new surrender. And, you know, life is so much better and I have so much joy in my life. And it's, you know, it's amazing to me every day. How does this work? I don't know. I just keep just seeking God and trusting that it's okay. And the thing I'm realizing recently is that, you know, it's just food. Yes, I enjoy my meals, but that is not where I look for, you know, relief or joy or happiness. I look, you know, there's other things that fill that need. And the primary thing is just a relationship with God. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Nancy C. in California. Next, we have Pearl R. And Pearl, if you could let us know where you're calling from. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pearl R. from Arizona. I came into these rooms. I was eating a cake a day, gallon of ice cream, 5 candy bars, and eating out 3 times a day. And that still was not enough for me. I'm not even 5 feet tall. I've been going around telling everybody I'm 5'2", and I just found out I'm 4'11½ feet tall, and I was pushing 400 pounds. And my grandfather was 600 plus pounds. And so today I know that I would 600 or 800 pounds by the way I was going. But today it's not up to me to tell God who I think he is. That is me and myself still trying to run the show. I must surrender to faith and I must let God run my show. Because when I run my show is suicidal and wants to kill me. And I must realize that I cannot at any moment of the day think that I'm going to somehow take control of the wheel and that I'm not going to completely wreck in a ditch, because that is a lie from this disease that wants to kill me. That is a serial killer stalking me, telling me, oh no, I'm not going to hurt you. I must surrender every day, all the time, to God and let Him run my show. That's why I come to meetings. That's why I read the big book, because it keeps my head in the game. Otherwise, this disease will have me in a very, very, very painful and miserable and slow, agonizing death. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pearl R. in Arizona. Next, Gloria H. And if you could let us know where you're calling from, Gloria. Thank you. Gloria, star one to unmute. Okay, we'll go to Vanessa G. And then Gloria, I will try you again. Vanessa G. in New Mexico. Good morning.
Good morning. This is
I'm
Vanessa
here.
G.
I was talking, but the phone was muted. It's Gloria H.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Gloria. Sorry, Vanessa. We'll come right back to you. Go ahead, Gloria.
Sorry, Vanessa, and I apologize to the leader. I was saying when you said my name, it sounds like, you know, Gloria, come on down, like the price is right. So I was all ready, but I wasn't ready then. Anyway, yes, this paragraph speaks to my mentality, you know, how I thought about myself. You know, I'm a volume food eater. I've been around the room since the devil was a boy. So that means that I started in OA. You know, before when we had to take in the first writing, we had to say, what did we do in the past? What methods had we tried to control our eating? And at that time, it was the other commercial things. But then I'm in the room so long, it has been the fellowship things. You know, OA, then Long Island How, then FAA, then FA, then C How. You know, just running from room to room. And it works, you know, if you work it. And, you know, for me right now, I need to do come on all the way in and sit all the way down. And I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. I think I said that. And I'm, you know, when I think that other people are eating, I said, but I could, why? I'm not eating any more than them. I'm eating the same thing as them. Why is my, you know, but it isn't about all about the eating and what I, you know, unless I realize that what I'm eating is not the same, unless my eyes are broken and my soul is broken, because I'm asking for something that is not going to happen. It's like 3 and 2 will be 5, but it won't be 6. And so that's where I'm at. You know, I'm always trying to say, well, I should be able to do it this way and it'll work this way. And then keeping my eyes on my own plate. Other people are doing these things and they lose weight. It's not about that. It's about the healthy part. It's about the health spiritually, physically, and mentally. Am I there that way? No. If I'm not there that way, and if it's, the stool is one, it's two legs that can't stand up, so I have to realize that. I'm just appreciative that this is a meeting and this is a forum where I can come and say what I say and feel comfortable in saying that, yes, I do have to move up to being surrendered. I do have to move up to, you know, I do turn my will and my life over to God, so I say, but is that in reality? But God knows me, and I speak to Him, and He speaks to me. So I think I did everything I wanted to do in the 3 minutes, and that's who I am. I thank you for listening. Sometimes I can play that chess game in the rooms, moving from one to another to another. I just have to come all the way in, like I said, and just be quiet and listen. Listen to learn and learn to listen. I pass.
Thank you, Gloria H. in Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay, take two, Vanessa, my friend, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. Thank you.
Good morning. I hope I can get it in. Vanessa G. in New Mexico, recovered. So a little later in the book, it says about, you know, there are those who cannot recover because they are incapable of being honest with themselves. And we can only know what we can know. However, if you're, you know, on this line with me, I'm guessing that some crack, some slight sliver of light has reached into our denial, and we have an opportunity. We have a chance. Grab it. Grab it and don't let it go, because it can't. And the other thing that I want to mention is that You know, honesty is the foundation of this program. I really do believe that. Coming into reality, letting go of the food, and finding the truth. And that has happened for me. Not completely. It's an ongoing process. I can always get more honest. I can always find more reality. I can always find more truth. I can always find more God. And it replaces the food and brings me to a place of peace and serenity. Anyway, I love you all. I really appreciate the opportunity to share this morning. I'm so grateful that whatever piece of truth, reality cracked open within me, it opened my mind just enough so that I could listen. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. And next, Hannah B. And I know where you're from, Hannah, but I'm blanking. So if you can share with us, thank you.
Hi, Hannah B. from Tennessee, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. For today, I had to get so honest. I had to get so honest about everything, like every little thing, in order to be able to recover, because I thought I was being honest, and it wasn't what my judgment of honesty was. It was like this level of honesty that had to basically just flatten me, where I was just completely deflated, and it was down to my behavior. It was down to the way that I even acted with food, like the way that I interacted with it, you know, with all these behaviors that I had to really take a look at, because otherwise I wasn't able to sustain or maintain what I had long enough to even work the steps, you know? And I'm so grateful for that experience and that defeat. And today what it looks like is like, you know, just God is calling me into a lot of surrender. And I'm finding that, and it's really uncomfortable, but I'm finding that it's so intolerable not to be in that place. Like, my food is neutral, but it's so intolerable. Like, I have a living problem, you know? And unless I am in this place of surrender and accepting and in action and in connection and allowing the spirit of recovery to really flow through me with all the tools that are suggested here, and this surrender and this letting go of all my distorted thinking and not attaching to these thoughts that I can just run away with, because that seems to be my default, just my default setting. I don't have relief, you know, unless I do that. And so I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. But the road there is like, it's so uncomfortable sometimes, you know, and, you know, there's only really one way out, and it's to really surrender and accept spiritual help. And, you know, there's a lot of ways. There's so many different, you know, tools and modalities and practices, but it's like, at the end of the day, that this formula, this 12-step program is the only thing that really has the power, it seems. Like, God, through this program, has the power to lift me above myself in this disease, because otherwise I just get...
That's time, Hannah.
Trapped, thank you, in the... I'll wrap it up, thank you.
Thank you. That was Hannah B. in Tennessee. So I think we will have time, maybe two people, first two names I hear.
Charlene G.
Charlene G. Anyone else?
Amelia O.
Amelia, thank you. All right. Charlene, go ahead, please, and tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for being here. My name is Charlene G. I'm from Utah. So grateful to be in this meeting with you. Wonderful, wonderful place to be each morning. Deception. I thought about that word a lot. Self-deception. Sometimes I didn't even realize that I was the one that was doing this deceiving. And what I'm finding is that my higher power, who I call God, is so gentle and loving and guides me to the truth. He is my source of truth, even and especially when my disease likes to deceive me. And it is the disease. And it will take something, a lie, and make it seem harmless. And the awareness is such a cool gift for me right now that I can be paying attention when the lies are creeping in. Even though I've admitted that I'm, you know, powerless over this disease, but it has to be ongoing because there is always going to be opposition. There's always going to be some resistance, and that's normal. But the willingness keeps getting stronger because I'm guided by my higher power. I want so badly to eat like other people. I think that's not going to go away. I don't know. But, you know, what's so cool is the gift. The more I want the gift more than I want to be like other people. Because I just love, I am crazy about 12-step recovery work. I love the awareness of such a thing as a 12-step program and this room and this meeting. And this is where I belong. And so I will take it versus the getting to behave, be like other people and have and do what they do with food. I love this way of life. And I was thinking, can you imagine Olympian complaining and whining that they don't get to sleep in, they've got to get up and do all their training, but they're going for the gold. And that's what we're doing one day at a time. And I'm doing it with you, and you're helping me so much. And I thank God for you, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Okay, Amelia O in Connecticut, you only have a minute, so I don't know if you want to take it or if you want to wait until tomorrow. So sorry.
It's okay. My instinct is not to take this and spare you all listening to me. Yeah, I'll just wish everybody a good day, and I will pass. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Amelia. Okay. Thank you all for a great meeting. Thank you so much to Team Wednesday, Chanel T, Yvonne A, Juanice, Kathy B, Deborah LT, and on our back end, we'll have Carla C doing newcomer greeter and Jody E for announcements, so please stay on. Okay, we will now close the reading. We'll now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Yvonne A, would you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, I'm Yvonne A from BC, Canada. A recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.